You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The stars were great. And ultimately, it was the supporting cast that were the difference. On that unfortunate note, welcome in to another post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat this Wednesday evening, the Rockets' 10-game home winning streak is over. The Bucks 116-109 winners in a showdown between Giannis and Harden. They were both brilliant. Giannis with 27 and 21. James Harden, 42 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 13 of 30 from the field. The two MVP candidates, the frontrunners, did what you would expect them to do, but ultimately it was the fact that the Bucks simply had more help around their superstar than the Rockets, especially without Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, had around James Harden that made the difference in this game. With the loss, which is just the Rockets' third in the last 15 games, amazing to think how far they've come since that loss in Dallas that dropped them to 11-14. They've been 12-3 since then, so that means they're 23-17 now. The Bucks, who have been at the top of the Eastern Conference all season, making this a potential finals preview if all goes well on the Rockets' end, they improved to 29-11, the Bucks do. So they certainly showed their merits tonight as a legitimate contender, not just about the Greek Freak, their MVP candidate, but about the collective team as a whole. And even on the road against a Rockets team that had won 10 straight at home, it was clear by the end that, especially considering the injury absences of Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, the Bucks were simply the more talented basketball team, and give them credit, they deserve to win. So tonight's show, we're going to recap this game from a couple of angles. Number one, the guys who did play for the Rockets and what went wrong. A rare, I would say, somewhat downer of a post-game show because we've had so many optimistic ones lately with the Rockets not just winning, but winning against good teams, just like West's number one on Monday in Denver. Unfortunately, they were not able to do that tonight against East number one, Milwaukee. But segment one of our 3 points recap, we'll be discussing the Rockets on the floor tonight, who did not get it done. Segment two, we'll be talking about roster moves they could potentially make outside the current team to potentially address some of those issues. And then segment three, we'll finish up on a more optimistic note, which is that even with this loss tonight, the Rockets, they just finished up a hellacious stretch, 15 games at 12-3, and they do have reinforcements coming fairly soon in Eric Gordon and Chris Paul. And better than that, the schedule is going to start easing up, starting with the Cleveland Cavaliers for the finale of this three-game homestand on Friday night. So as we finish out the show, we'll be more optimistic. For now, though, we do need to talk about what went wrong, because this was a big game, nationally televised, and the Rockets did lose it, despite being up by as much as 10 in the first half. And it certainly wasn't James Harden's fault. He was brilliant. The fact of the matter is, no Chris Paul, no Eric Gordon, and Clint Capella, even though he did have 18-13, shooting just 4 of 16 from the field. Give Clint credit, he got to the foul line 12 times, made 10 of those, but ultimately just did not finish in traffic anywhere near well enough. To me, that's where it starts. We praised Capella a ton after how well he played against Nikola Jokic on Monday night in that big win over the Nuggets, but what happened there, it was Capella using his athletic gifts against a team that wasn't really prepared from a roster composition perspective to match that. Milwaukee, it's not just Giannis, although his collective length covers so many other issues, but Brook Lopez, even though he's not athletic, he's an absolute behemoth of a human being. Ilyasova off the bench, Thon Maker, even Chris Middleton as your starting small forward is 6'8", 6'9". We've discussed a lot this season about Clint Capella continuing to gain more strength, better stamina, and those things in matchups that have been more traditional in terms of power. Think Steven Adams with the Oklahoma City Thunder, Jokic with the Nuggets. Those have served him well. This was more about finesse. Because Milwaukee, even if you're able to power your way on the low block, they have enough collective length that you just need to be able to go up quickly and finish. And that's something that he's still working on. I think it's still a delicate balance because as Capella gains strength, he's also trying not to lose the quickness that's made him so effective as a leaper throughout most of his first four NBA seasons before this one. And I think it showed you tonight that Clint, Well, he was still an effective player. Again, the overall stat line, you look at, what, 18 and 13, got to the line 12 times, made 10 of those. He certainly was not a negative for you, also had a couple of blocks at the same time, just 4 of 16. The power is there, the finesse wasn't, and Milwaukee just collectively was able to use that length around the rim to close out on Clint, in part because there really weren't that many other options. The Rockets' offense did get predictable at times, as brilliant as James Harden was, because there's not really a secondary creator after James at the moment. Then that also made it easier to sag down and help on Capella, because Daniel House, PJ Tucker, even Austin Rivers, you certainly don't respect those guys as creators the way you do a Chris Paul or an Eric Gordon. In many ways, what happened was a clash of styles. The Bucks, they're one of the best teams in the league in terms of shooting at the rim and protecting the rim. I believe they're the only team in the NBA that's top five offense and top five defense. They're well balanced. You can see their interior strength on both ends of the floor tonight. The Rockets are, of course, they're more combustible. They have more highs, they have more lows, and for Houston, it was about, can you get off a lot of threes and make a lot of them? And in the first half, they did. They shot nearly 50%. James Harden went nuts. He had 17 points in just the second quarter, and it was one of those patented bursts that Harden had, that all of a sudden the game that was teetering, you know, either team's game within 5 points either direction, all of a sudden the Rockets were up 10, in part because they were making threes, and Harden just had one of those three-minute bursts where he just goes absolutely insane and no one can touch him. The second half, credit to the Bucks, coached very well by Mike Budenholzer. They adjusted, and even though Harden was still very good, 19 points in the second half, he wasn't quite as efficient. He didn't have the help, and so you factor in not having Harden in God mode, and he still had 42 and 11. He just didn't have the crazy run in the second half that he did at the end of the first half. So you didn't have that stretch to carry you and possibly turn the tide. You didn't have that secondary creator. And between not having Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, it's not just that they're good three-point shooters, because certainly they can help you. Again, the Rockets shot nearly 50% in the first half. They ended up for the game shooting just 18 of 48, which tells you they cooled significantly below 30% in the second half of the game. But beyond that, it's not just that Chris Paul and Eric Gordon are better shooters. It's also that they are playmakers and that they give you more ways to attack. And also against a team with that much length collectively as Milwaukee, it's not just one player. It's how many guys, the three through five spots as a whole that they have, that give you so much competitive spirit in terms of challenging anything at the rim. And if you have Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, if you have to recover against multiple guys who can create off the dribble, then that might can open up a little more space for Clint Capella. But with James Harden being the only playmaker, and then especially in the minutes that he did not play, ultimately things got very sticky and it was easier to kind of sag down and make it tougher for Capella to get any separation. Whereas if you have at least one, let alone both, of Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, not only do you have another shooter out there, they both should at least, with Eric Gordon, I know what his percentages are, but on paper he's a good three-point shooter for his career. Beyond that, it's also a guy that it's not just a stationary shooter. You have to respect them as a creator, and that should, against a team that's, especially a good defense like that, that's able to recover, that's the type of counter you need if you're the Rockets to perhaps unlock them. And when you look at the plus-minus figures for the Rockets, honestly, they don't lie. The one that's a little misleading is Gary Clark at plus 12 because he played just 5 minutes. That's not to say he wasn't impactful in those 5 minutes. I would certainly argue that Gary Clark deserves a longer look. But at the end of the day, it was just a 5 minute stretch of a 48 minute game. The bigger thing, when you look at the guys who played major minutes, the only positive was James Harden at plus 2. Austin Rivers was a team worst minus 15. And it's not that Austin Rivers had a bad game, 13 points, 4 of 8 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3. It's that when James Harden wasn't out there, and Rivers is the only other ball handler at the moment with both Chris Paul and Eric Gordon out, is going to have those minutes. It was those minutes without Harden where ultimately the game got away from the Rockets, because it was a little predictable to begin with. And then when you didn't have Harden out there against a team that's very long, very disciplined, and well-coached defensively, ultimately it was just very difficult to unlock the type of looks that the Rockets need. They weren't getting good looks at three, and Clint Capella, he still doesn't really generate his own offense. He needs playmakers to get him the type of looks, and especially when James Harden was not on the floor, the Rockets just didn't have the personnel to get it done. So to me, this comes down to the fact that the Bucks are 29 and 11 for a reason. They're at the top of the Eastern Conference for a reason. This is a very good basketball team, even on the road. They're well coached, they're well disciplined, they have an MVP candidate, they're deep, They're very big. They protect the rim. They get to the rim well offensively. And if you're the Rockets, you need to be able... It's a clash of styles, and you know that they're going to be better near the basket, so you need to be better from behind the three-point arc and creatively. Tonight, you're missing two big three-point shooters in Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, and beyond that, you're missing two creators who make the game a little more unpredictable. Because if it grinds to a half-court slog, if it's not going to be up and down, if it's and the Bucks, to be clear, they're a great transition team too, because many of these guys are fantastic athletes. But for the Rockets, if it's a half-court slugfest and they're not able to get their good looks from three, ultimately those shots near the rim are just going to be contested too well because Milwaukee has too much length. The Rockets need a spark. They need more shooters. But I would say more than that, they need that spark. And that's where, against a very good team, the absences of Chris Paul and Eric Gordon are really felt. Because James Harden, as great as he was, 42 points, 11 rebounds, even at home, that's not enough against a team of this caliber. Clint Capella, while certainly he didn't have a bad game, 18 and 13, 4 of 16, it reflects that, number one, I do think it's a type of defender that he struggles a little bit more against. I think his success against power has been a part of this season. Well, now, against that collective athleticism, this is about more of the finesse, and so it's not quite as friendly a matchup for him as Jokic on Monday. But beyond that, I also think it's a reminder that Clint, for all of his success, he's not a guy that's going to create his own offense. And if you're not able to collapse the defense with the same regularity, and no, it's not just shooting well from the perimeter, it's also having multiple guys that can attack, break people down off the dribble, then ultimately Clint's looks are not going to be as clean either, especially if they're being challenged by all the length and the bulk that Milwaukee is able to throw at him. So I think you combine those factors, the injury absences, the collective length of Milwaukee, and the fact that Houston, which didn't even play in an A, more on that momentarily in our second segment, and doesn't really have a body after Clint Capella of any length that they trust, it's just a tough matchup. And all I can say, good thing the Bucks are in the Eastern Conference, because the next time the Rockets play them outside of the regular season, it couldn't happen until the NBA Finals. And if that's the case, I think that's one of those things that you'll take as a good problem, especially if the Rockets at least have Chris Paul and Eric Gordon back at that point. That's a long way away. The Rockets have a lot of things in their way between now and then, including, of course, the Golden State Warriors. But that's one reason why, while you tip your hat to Milwaukee, it's not something I'm overly concerned about in isolation. The problem is that there are some of these issues that, while maybe not as pronounced as they are against Milwaukee, we have seen them in certain other settings, and that's why it might take some tweaks to the current roster composition to address. More on that on the other side. So as we continue our post-game recap of Wednesday night's 116-109 loss by the Rockets to Milwaukee, we spent the first segment discussing the roster limitations of the guys who are there, or in the case of Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, not there. You didn't have two of your primary playmakers. Clint Capella was less efficient. James Harden had a great game, 42-11-6, but against a Milwaukee team that's number one in the Eastern Conference and top five in defense and offense in the league, it probably wasn't going to be enough. And even though I liked that the Rockets hung around, they were down 13 midway through the fourth, it felt like they had every excuse to pack it in, and yet James Harden led them back, got to a point where it was a three-point game, and the Rockets had the ball, had a couple of Harden threes that could have tied it, but ultimately didn't go in. I think that speaks well, just as a loss in Portland reflected well on their culture. I think this one does as well. So even though it's a loss to a good team, and it's one that the Rockets certainly didn't accept. They went down fighting, and somehow, they almost climbed the mountain and got all the way back. I can guarantee you the Bucks were holding their collective breath on those two Harden threes. So the good news for the Rockets, they certainly did not fade from the moment or the stage of the two MVP candidates, Giannis and Harden, the nationally televised game on ESPN, the spotlight. Again, even though they lost, it certainly wasn't that they were deficient in some sort of intangible way. The Rockets wanted this game. They competed hard. They just ultimately did not have the horses that Milwaukee did, and that was the biggest difference. And of course, you look at the guys who are out, Chris Paul and Eric Gordon. Chris Paul's a Hall of Famer, and when he's right, can still be a top 10 type difference maker in this league. Eric Gordon, although he hasn't shot well this year, when he's right, as we have seen on occasion this year, but especially last year, can be a quasi all-star level player when he has it going. Those are significant absences for Houston, and clearly, if they're back, it's a different game. Not saying Houston would win, but the dynamics are very, very different. The other thing, though, that needs to be kept in mind, while you can look at the injury absences as part of the story, and you can also say that Milwaukee is a very good team that played very well, there are some roster composition issues for the Rockets that are not just limited to the scope of this one game. Specifically, the fact that for a team that is as collectively long as Milwaukee is, the Rockets really had just one difference maker over 6'7" that they trusted to play any sort of significant minutes, and that's Clint Capela. As was the case in Golden State last Thursday in that big win, the Rockets did not give Nene any run off the bench. I think they see with the athleticism of a team like Milwaukee or Golden State that a 36-year-old Nene is not really the ticket for those matchups. But not only did Nene not play, but that also made you smaller, and so it led to the length of Milwaukee being an even more pronounced advantage. And I'm not saying that they should have played Nene, because even though he's bigger, I understand that he's less athletic. So even if, you know, you're getting a couple more inches, well, you're giving up a little bit in terms of spacing on the floor. So I understand you're sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't. And at 36 years old, the Rockets, I understand why there are certain matchups that they don't see as friendly to Nene. The flip side is that it does expose that other than Clint Capela, there is very little in the way of size on this basketball team in the regular rotation. PJ Tucker, for all of his strengths, look, he's a 6'6" starting power forward. And he played well tonight. 8 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. I know he just shot 2 of 9, but the guy almost had a near triple-double, and I thought played pretty good defense on Giannis. So certainly he gives you a lot from an effort standpoint, defense. But in terms of long rebounds, we discussed all year long, the Rockets being near the bottom of the league and defensive rebounding rate. Some of it comes down to just not having the personnel on the floor, especially if you need to switch Capela. And we've seen a lot against Giannis of late. Teams have been using their centers to defend him. Okay, well, if you use Capela, as we've seen him do on forwards and even guards at times in the past, well, then you pull him away from the basket, and then someone else needs to be able to get the rebound, and the Rockets just don't really have the personnel to do that at the moment. And what I think it might expose is that potentially getting a 4/5 at the deadline could be an even bigger need for this team than a 3/4 hybrid. Because especially when the Rockets get Chris Paul and Eric Gordon back, Eric Gordon was starting at the 3 before he went down. Also, if you have Chris Paul and James Harden playing the majority of the backcourt minutes, that pushes Gerald Green, even some Austin Rivers, to where they might get some time at the 3. So before you know it, those 3/4 minutes are going to be spoken for. Even if the Rockets are playing a little bit smaller, that's something that Mike D'Antoni is very comfortable with. I don't think that necessarily, even though the Rockets went into the year with the national narrative being, oh, they lost these 3-and-D types, they lost their starting small forward, I don't think that's the way they're looking at it. To me, the bigger need, and I discussed this in Sunday's show with Bema Thug, other than Clint Capela, who can you trust to reliably play every game against a long athletic team? Again, it's not just Milwaukee. We saw some of these issues against Golden State last week. It just didn't matter because Harden was historically great. We certainly saw it early in the year when the Rockets played the Clippers and Montrezl Harrell, who touched them. The Rockets' long athletic teams give them some trouble. And outside of Clint Capela, the Rockets don't have much in the way to counter that size and especially athleticism. And then especially if you're asking Capela to switch and pick up different types of players, it puts them in a difficult spot. It's worth remembering, if you go back to the November when the Rockets had over the Warriors, it was Isaiah Hartenstein who in the plus-minus was their top player. And I'm certainly not saying he was the most impactful one, but the point is he played very, very well. Many of you probably remember how well he moved his feet against Kevin Durant. The fact that the Rockets just had another long body that they trusted to throw out there. And right now, Hartenstein's at the G League level. I'm not saying they need to bring him back, although certainly he's an option, but if they don't trust him based on his relative youth and inexperience, then hopefully at the deadline they're able to address it externally. Because right now there are certain matchups where other than Clint Capela, and it's not like you can just drop Clint Capela at all times, no matter what, and hell, even if you do, then he's still probably going to sit 15 minutes a night. You need someone else that you can trust. And it's clear that Nene, even though he has been better than we expected, it's not like you can trust him in all matchups. And beyond that, even if you can, there's some where maybe PJ Tucker gets worn down. Tucker played a team-high 43 minutes tonight for a guy who's 33 years old. I don't think that's really conducive to his body holding up over the long term and guarding the likes of LeBron James, Kevin Durant in the playoffs. So to me, what I think this game shows you, with Austin Rivers continuing to play well, with James Harden being the MVP, the best player on the planet, with Chris Paul and Eric Gordon expected back in the next couple of weeks, it's not as if you're out of options at the 1-3 spots, especially with Gerald Green still shooting relatively well off the bench. Daniel House, even though it was a down night for him, you feel pretty good about the 1-3 spots. It's up front, after Clint Capela, where there are issues, especially against the more long and athletic teams. So to me, as I look at the Rockets, if there's one move they could make at the trade deadline to bolster their chances, especially against the types of teams that tend to be at the top of the NBA, the Bucks, but you can also throw Toronto in there. I know they're in the East, but in terms of potential finals opponents, Toronto's pretty big and athletic too. Certainly the Warriors, to an extent the Thunder. There's a lot of long-rangey athletes, and that's something, a theme we are seeing, that outside of Clint Capela, the Rockets don't have a lot of answers for. So to me, between the development of Austin Rivers and the fact that you feel pretty good about those three-guard lineups, and then the fact that you've still seen these deficiencies up front after Clint Capela, and that Nene, even playing relatively well, there's still matchups where the Rockets don't trust him. To me, you're seeing an evolution where if the Rockets make a trade at the deadline, I don't think the obvious target is a small forward. No, I think it's a guy that can play some four, even some five. It doesn't have to be a true power forward. Of course, the way the Rockets play, they do a lot of small ball. They have tuck wagon lineups, which we saw for a brief time tonight. So you could have a three that technically might be called a four in this system. Again, truthfully, the Rockets don't look at it under Mike D'Antoni as positions. It's more just point guards, 3-and-D wing types, and rim runners. But I think above all else, you need some springs. You need some length. And if there are matchups where you can't trust Nene, the Rockets' collective lack of length can become startling. That, to me, was the biggest takeaway. It was just when the Rockets' threes weren't falling, when Harden wasn't in God mode, the Bucks just had way easier shots and a way easier time defending. It was just that simple. They were bigger, they were more athletic, and even though the Rockets aren't healthy, that will address some of it, because Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, even if you have to play small, well, those are two great playmakers, they can be great shooters, that can help you a lot. But beyond that, from a roster composition standpoint, you can get longer than they are, especially in the front court. So to me, this reaffirmed that as the Rockets go towards the trade deadline, this might be the most consistent need other than health that they've had all season long. Final thought as we close out our 3 points recap, and this will be a more optimistic one. Look what happens from here on out in January. This current stretch for the Rockets has been hellacious. They're 12-3 in their last 15. It feels like they're playing well, but that's because James Harden has been averaging about 40 points per game in that stretch. He's been otherworldly. Austin Rivers has come in somehow off the scrap heap and been an immediate difference maker. Clint Capela has been very good. And they've also had a ton of close wins. So even though some of these could have gotten away from them, this is a league defined by individual difference makers, and Harden saved them some. And before you know it, yeah, they've won 80% of their games in a 15-game stretch, even against tough competition, even with Chris Paul and Eric Gordon going down. Salute to James Harden and Clint Capela for pulling them through that. With that said, you can start to see the past few games that there is some running on fumes. Some of the issues aren't just roster composition. I think the Rockets are just a little tired because the guys who haven't been hurt, starting with James Harden and Clint Capela, have been asked to take on such a Herculean workload that, yeah, you put them up against teams like Portland, Milwaukee, without much of a break in between. Even if it's not back-to-backs, there's just a cumulative mileage toll that can take effect. The good news is that for the Rockets, it feels like it's been a long time since they've had a layup game. In this 15-game stretch, but the only one I would consider a layup would be way back on Wednesday the 19th against the Wizards. That was before Chris Paul's injury. That was the game they set the record with 26 made threes. And shoot, before the Wizards game, I guess you'd have to go back to the Bulls on December 1st. Because that three-game losing streak at Minnesota, at Utah, at Dallas, those are all quality teams and all on the road. So it's been a while where you would feel like the Rockets went into a game saying, hey, we feel safe about this. Well, that's about to change. The rest of January, I'm going to read this off to you. Cleveland, Orlando, Memphis, Brooklyn, Lakers, Sixers, Knicks, Toronto, Orlando, New Orleans. That's 10 games. Of those 10 games, 7 are at home, where the Rockets have won 10 of their last 11. But beyond that, I would say that Toronto and at Philly are the only games in there where you're not going to be favorites by at least 5 points. The next three, Cleveland, Orlando, a spiraling Memphis team, let's throw Brooklyn in there as well, you might be 10-point favorites in most, if not all, of those games. Maybe not Orlando because it's on the road. But the point is, those are games where it would be a shock if you lose. Then you've got the Saturday primetime game against the Lakers. We'll see if LeBron James is even back by then, but even if he is, the Rockets are 2-0 against them. That seems to be a favorable matchup. With 7 of the next 10 at home, I would say all but two teams you're likely to be heavy favorites. I defined heavy more than 5 points. All but maybe three or four by 10 or more points. This is an opportunity where the Rockets can make some hay, and they are expected to get both Eric Gordon and Chris Paul back at some point in there. Now, there are no guarantees, because this is a Rockets team that, to some extent, early in the year, played well. I referenced that November game against the Warriors when the lights were bright, but then they would struggle in some situations where maybe there weren't as many expectations. As dreadful as that 8-34 post-LeBron wasteland of a Cleveland Cavaliers team is that's coming to Toyota Center Friday night, one of their eight wins, I'm sure y'all remember, it was a Saturday after Thanksgiving against these Rockets. Now, I know the Rockets didn't have Chris Paul, but number one, that's not an excuse against a team that bad. And secondly, they're not going to have Chris Paul this time either. So it is going to be a different challenge for the Rockets. As I've said from the start, I do like what we're seeing from the Rockets culture-wise these days. Even in the losses to Portland and Milwaukee on Wednesday, the Rockets didn't back down. Collectively, I think their swagger is back. But it's going to be a different test. It's one thing when you're on national TV or you're playing a big-time opponent and everybody's watching you. Now, it's going to be a little bit more of a sleepy environment. Toyota Center isn't going to be as juiced. So what happens? Can you sustain that level of play even if your legs are a little bit tired? You don't have Chris Paul or Eric Gordon at least imminently back in this stretch. And you feel like that you should be able to win this game even without your peak effort. Again, the Rockets, they're a better team than they showed early in the season. And even now, as long as they have James Harden, there is margin for error. One great player can do that much in the NBA, but it is a different type of test. So the good news is that on paper, boy, the Rockets won 12 of their last 15, and the schedule is about to lighten up quite a bit. So they should be able, even at 23-17 now, Friday's the halfway point, it's about to get a lot easier. You should be able to pile up the wins and build yourself a bit of a buffer as we get closer to the February trade deadline and the All-Star break. The bad news, if there is any, is that, well, there's a bit of pressure that comes with that. It's not going to be any more games where you kind of look at it as a bonus if you take. No, these are games that you should win, and these are the games, at least early in the season, that gave the Rockets some trouble, and it is a bit of a different dynamic than what they've been used to in this past month. So all the things we've seen, there are a lot of encouraging signs, even with Wednesday night's loss. Personally, I'm bullish. I would buy stock in the Rockets based on the logic of it, but at the same time, it's not a given. This is going to be a different type of challenge, and while I'm confident that they are going to rise to the occasion, at the same time, we shouldn't write it off as an inevitability. The Rockets are going to have to show something against the Clevelands and Orlandos of the league that they did not earlier in the year. So while on paper, it's a great opportunity, and I'm bullish about it, at the same time, don't take it for granted. I do think there's something that we can learn about the Rockets in these games. Well, number one, they need to win, but secondly, beyond just that they win, it's how they win. Do they take the games as seriously as they should? Because a year ago, when they were right, when they were 65-17, you don't get to that mark by just having a few really high highs. No, you're consistent. There's a stretch in there. The Rockets were 27-2. They were a machine. So if the Rockets are truly back to where we think they are or should be, then they shouldn't just win these games. They should win them by a pretty comfortable margin. I think they can, but ultimately, it's on them to go out and do it. So beyond just getting the W's, always important, I also want to see how seriously they take the games. That's another thing to watch as the schedule turns to a very different portion, beginning Friday with the woeful Cleveland Cavaliers. Anyway, with that, that'll do it for this Wednesday night, our mostly pessimistic, unfortunate recap of a 116-109 defeat to the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know if pessimistic is the right word, because I thought the Rockets played hard and played relatively well. Bucks just had better personnel, reminding you why they're 29-11 on the year. And the Rockets, why they're 23-17. Even though they played better lately, they had a slow start. The flaws from that are not all entirely hidden, even with James Harden playing well. And then the injury absences that they've been able to overcome, the likes of Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, over the past couple of weeks. Well, I think they reared their head a bit tonight, reminding you why they are so important if the Rockets are going to go where ultimately Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni expect them to get by the end of this season. Anyway, though, until our next episode, this is where we'll break it. If you want more content before the next show, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. Show is on there at Locked On Rockets. And also checked out Locked On NBA Net. That's the Twitter and Instagram handle, Locked On NBA Net, for our host across the Locked On Podcast Network, covering NBA teams, a curated feed, if you will. So if you want to see what's going on elsewhere around the NBA or the perspective of other hosts about the Rockets, perhaps, then check out that Locked On NBA Net feed. on Twitter and Instagram. Also, subscribe if you're not already. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. Leave 5-star reviews. That's how we can look attractive to potential advertisers. And if you're interested in advertising yourself, please reach out to me, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. We've got some nice introductory specials. Also, besides just subscribing to us at your platform of choice, because, of course, we're available, great network, lots of distribution. We've also been working with voice assistant providers, so if you've got a smart speaker for Christmas or sometime over the past year, just tell your smart speaker, hey, play podcast Locked on Rockets, and you should be able to find our most recent episode. Same goes with Alexa or any of your other voice assistant providers. So yeah, just say play podcast, sorry for getting tongue-tied, Locked on Rockets, and you should be able to find our most recent shows. With those plugs out of the way, this is where we'll wrap it. Again, thanks as always for listening. Unhappy final from Toyota Center. Bucks 116, Rockets 109. Bucks improved to 29-11. Rockets fall to 23-17. Rockets next in action Friday night against the Cleveland Cavaliers. For now, have a good night. But come back soon and enjoy more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily discussion of all things Houston Rockets basketball.